Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel lacking in faith? Do you ever feel like you're always just making so many mistakes? And do you ever think that because of all that, God can't fill you with His Holy Spirit and use you? Well, don't believe a word of it. As we look at Judges, we see time and again God poured out His Spirit upon people and used them for His purposes, even though they were weak. Hebrews 11:32, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. So that's just one part of the message that I want to bring you today from the book of Judges about weakness being turned to strength. And reading through the book of Judges and looking at it, I think, Lord, what message do we bring from this book? Judges contains some of the most gruesome stories of the Bible. Some really disturbing stuff. There are stories in there that are often turned into children's stories, obviously Gideon and Samson, but really they're just sanitized versions. Get down to the detail of it, there's a lot of gruesome stuff there. A couple of the main points that I would bring out of Judges. The deadliest sin of the people of Israel was idolatry, worship of other gods, or worshipping God inappropriately, syncretistically, mixing the worship of Baal and other gods with the worship of the one true God. And that's the thing that came out time and again. That was what really got God angry. But another point is that God will pour out His Spirit even on those of His people with weak moral character, because as we look at some of these characters here, particularly looking at Samson, they're not really, great pillars and fine, upstanding characters. There's tremendous character weakness there. And I find that tremendous encouragement that God can use people who are weak in character. And that's how I'd encourage you. So we can have a look, if you want to turn, you can, to chapter 10 from verse 6. And this passage is, I guess, typical of the story of Judges. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtoreths and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served Him, He became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan, in Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, and Israel was in great distress. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against You, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." The Lord replied, "When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Moabites oppressed you, and you cried to Me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken Me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble." But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Then they got rid of their foreign gods among them and served the Lord, and He could bear Israel's misery no longer. So as we look at the book of Judges, one of the things that I'd suggest that we can bring out of this is what we can learn about the nature of God. And I think that's an important question to be asking, reading through any book of the Bible, and thinking, well, what can we summarise it? What message can we bring out of it? And so it's always good to ask that question. What can we learn about God? And what we can learn about this is that God is patient. When God's people are wayward, He will stand back and allow them to fail until they repent and call on Him. So yes, it's true that all of those things where we feel that we we fail and we're lacking faith and we're just not close to God, they are of consequence, but God is dependable. Judges is a book of people full of weak character who were nonetheless achieved great things when the Spirit of God came upon them. We're going to look at some details a little bit later. The Bible is honest. It portrays in all of the minute detail all the failings of the people of God. But God still achieves the outcome through them. So here we are. We had Moses, who was succeeded by Joshua. Israel's in the Promised Land. And then we have this series of judges. Sometimes they're divided into the minor judges and major judges. And the story ends just before the monarchy. And a typical refrain from the book is that Israel had no king in those days, and everyone did as they saw fit. And that was the problem, that everyone did as they saw fit. Not so much that they didn't have a king, but they weren't allowing God to be their king. And so they went astray. It's interesting to see where God is involved and God is not. Judges is not, it's not a book of examples to imitate. But when we look at these stories, I'd suggest it's instructive to see what the people are doing and what God is doing. And it's important to learn from what God is doing, not from what the people are doing. Because what the people are doing may or may not be the right thing. But it's what God is doing that's important, and that is where I believe the lesson is. God's waiting for his people to call out in repentance. And when he does, he acts. And God's ability to achieve things is not necessarily inhibited by the material that he has to work with. God's merciful, but he does also leave people to the consequences of their sin. And as we see there, that even though that the people did eventually repent and call out to God, in the meantime, they have turned away from him, and God has left them to the consequences of their sin. A bit more context. Israel at this time is not a single entity. There's no single unifying leader. The whole book is just full of all these stories of civil war and terrible fighting and murder and just lots of division. There's a lot of tribal jealousy becomes a problem. There's a common cycle that's formulated like this. This is from one of the commentaries. They fall into idolatry. There's oppression, foreign oppression, and deliverance. It goes like this. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sold them into the hand of A, king of B, who oppressed them for X years. They cried out to the Lord, and he raised up a deliverer for them, C, son of D, and he prevailed against A, king of B, and delivered Israel, and the land had rest for Y years. And this is the cycle that gets repeated over and over through Judges. I guess that tells us something about the people, that perhaps they were slow learners, because the lesson was repeated over and over again. But it also tells us about God, that God is patient. And even though time and time again they failed, time and time again, God was still there to deliver them. And that's a message that we can take away as well. It doesn't matter how many times we fail and how badly we mess it up, God is still always there waiting for us to turn to him. And when you look at the absolutely horrific things that were going on in the people of Israel in the days of the judges, I think we can take some heart from that if God was that patient with them, then surely he's going to be patient with us. A couple of main characters that come out of the book of Judges, Gideon and Samson. We'll just have a quick look at them. There's a story of Gideon's fleece, and I would suggest, and some might disagree, but I'd suggest that it's actually not an example to imitate. It was a sign of weakness and lack of faith. And even though it does play a part in the story, and Gideon interacted with God in this way, really there's no reason why Gideon couldn't have just simply trusted God at his word. And yet God raised up Gideon to do fantastic things. Even though later on, even after all that, Gideon failed again. He made this golden ephod, this vestal, whatever it is, that caused the people to sin. If we look at these characters, we find that they're not necessarily perfectly upright people. And we can get some encouragement from that in looking at the fantastic things that God did through men like Gideon. But Samson is even more colourful. It's a more amazing story. He did all sorts of things wrong. And yet it says that the Spirit of God came upon Samson and he went off and did this and did that. God used Samson. But he married a Philistine. That was wrong. He wasn't supposed to do that. He did things that were contrary to the Nazarite vow. He touched the lion's corpse. He was continually losing self-control. You look at these stories, this is not really what you would describe as a fine, upstanding character. And yet God used him powerfully. And he generally had lots of trouble with women. And there's something in that. Generally, he fought against the Philistines with everything, it seems, except wholehearted devotion to God. And yet, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So I think it's fascinating. We don't have time here to go into all the details, but I think it's amazing to look at the story of someone like Samson. Look at the character of the man. Look at the material that God had to work with, and look at what God did with that material. And I think that we can get some tremendous encouragement from that, because when you might be feeling that you keep on making mistakes, and you might think, or you might hear thoughts that say, well, God can't use you because you keep making all these mistakes. Well, look at someone like Samson. Look at all the mistakes and crazy things that he did. And yet it's very clear that God poured out his Spirit and he used Samson. And he can use you too. Again, that's not to say that our mistakes don't have consequences. Yes, they do. But it doesn't mean that God can't use us. Another thing that I bring out of Judges is the passing on from one generation to another. Like in 2:10. After that, the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew the Lord, nor what he had done for Israel. And this again is a repeated theme, and I'd suggest that is the lesson in that is the importance of passing on to the next generation, because this is obviously what wasn't happening in Israel in these days. They weren't passing on properly to the next generation the knowledge of God and what he had done for them, and the importance of worshipping God alone. So that's something else that I'd suggest you can get from Judges. It's very important, and that's what's happening around here right now in Sunday school, passing that on to the next generation. And so there's a link that you can make with this, the dreadful story of Judges, and the importance of Sunday school teaching the next generation. Another point is that God only disciplines his own children, it seems. And Israel's enemies were God's means of punishment. So God's in fact not just using his own people, good or bad, but he's actually even using the ungodly for his purposes and for his glory. God listened when Israel called on him and they repented, even though they had failed time and time and time again in such horrendous and horrific fashion. And yet, when they called out to God and repented, he listened. He was there. getting back again to the story of Gideon, but not so much about Gideon now, but about God and God's purpose and a message that can come out of that. He said, look, yeah, you've got to get rid of all these men. We want a small group, because if you have too big a group, then people might be tempted to boast in themselves and their own strength rather than in me. And that's interesting, that God potentially can do more with a small group than with a big group. God potentially can do more with less than with more. Maybe God can do more with a small amount of money than with a large amount of money. Maybe God can do more with a small church than with a big church. If you look at the detail of the story of Gideon going about making this altar for God, and he does it in the middle of the night, and then the people come out and see what transpires the next day, that story really highlights how far people of Israel had gone from God, the idolatry that they had fallen into. So just a bit of a recap. In looking at Judges, I'd suggest one question to ask, an approach to take, is to look at it and say, what can we learn about God? It's very easy to get caught up in all the details of the stories and goings on and who's doing what and why and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of it is narrative, is telling the story of what happened. But you look carefully and look at where it mentions God and have a look at what is God doing. What can we learn about God and the nature of our God through this? I suggest that Judges is not a book of examples to imitate. Again, I suggest focus on what God's doing, not what the people are doing. Even the great men and the great exploits that they engaged in. I think it's important to focus on what God is doing, not to be looking for examples of people to imitate, because what the people were doing may have been the right thing. It might not necessarily have been the best thing. Again, we can learn about God in terms of how patient God is in the face of the very worst behaviour of his people. God is merciful, but he will leave his people to the consequences of their sin. And that's the other part of the story, is that, yes, God is merciful, but there are consequences of a failing. But I'd suggest that one of those consequences is, it's not one of those consequences that God can't use us or anybody when they're failed. God can still use us. God can still pour out his Spirit on you and me, even when we have failed. And so that's the summary, I guess, of the takeaway message, is that God can use us in our weakness. So getting back to that verse in Hebrews, that their weakness was turned into strength. So when you're feeling weak, just remember that God can turn that into strength. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you can use us even when we are weak, even when we fail.